Welcome to the Outdoor Dream Jobs Podcast. I'm Allie Carr.
And I'm Jenna Selmer. We run Basecamp, an online community of more than 15,000 outdoor industry insiders who share jobs, industry contacts, and advice.
We've got five superb jobs today to talk about. It's a great mix. They're based all over the country, and there's everything from coordinator level to director level.
And then we feel quite privileged to get to talk to Scott Briscoe. He is the executive director of We Got Next, which is kind of a sports management firm for athletes of all levels who come from underrepresented communities in the outdoors.
They have a really incredible three-year mentorship program that I can't wait to hear about from Scott. It's different than any other kind of sports management firm I've ever heard of, but it's so cool. And then he's going to get into the good stuff. He is chock full of advice on how brands in and out of the outdoor industry can diversify their staffs. And he has some amazing, tangible advice for us.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Let's hop into the jobs, though. The first one we have is with the Trustees, and they are a land conservation nonprofit rooted in Massachusetts. And this position is right in Boston, and it is a director of outdoor experience, which just sounds like a great gig. And they're looking for somebody with about 4 years of experience. They want somebody who is, they call them an outdoor adventure and play expert, which I mean, I think could mean a lot of things, but really what you're going to be doing is inviting people to play outside. And they really want to get families outdoors. They want to get some non-traditional audiences outdoors. So you're building strategies around which partners you can leverage to do this, you know, how to facilitate the actual recreational experiences and really create a huge impact for that Massachusetts region.
Awesome. I love that. Outdoor adventure and play expert.
Yeah.
That's a good one to have on your resume. The next job that we have is at Bass Pro Shops. This position is located in Springfield, Missouri. It's the Outdoor Fund Coordinator. So if you're not familiar with the Outdoor Fund, they are a nonprofit that supports conservation efforts, and they have a partnership with Bass Pro Shops. So this position is really being kind of that liaison with the nonprofit and working with partner management, board meeting preparation, promotions and marketing, retail operations. I mean, you're really hands-on in many aspects of how to leverage that partnership within Bass Pro Shops. And they're only looking for 1 year of experience. So it really is an entry-level position, but really such an impactful one that also just has a lot of cool responsibility. You can learn a lot in this position.
Yeah, and Bass Pro Shops is hiring for a bunch of positions. If you saw the newsletter, we had a videographer position there. I would recommend heading to their site because actually they have lots of cool things listed right now.
Awesome.
Adidas is hiring again. Adidas is often hiring, but we did want to highlight this mid-level position because usually they're asking for people with like 10, 12 years of experience. And we know that that might not resonate with everyone that's listening, but they do need a designer of digital experience with about 5 years of experience who can do some sketches, concepts, prototypes, and really deliver that experience digitally in a way that makes the consumer feel comfortable in that digital sphere on the website or wherever they're looking, and also advocates for Adidas. So that's going to be at their headquarters in Portland. If you listen to the podcast, we're big advocates of Portland. It's a great outdoor town, and this would be a great position.
Definitely. And we have another design position, although this one is a little bit different than digital. This is more of an apparel and probably accessories design position. This is with the North Face in Denver, Colorado, and it is the Global Creative Design Director for Mountain Sports and Innovation, really focused on snow, climbing, and trail, so hiking, snow sports, and climbing. And they're really looking for someone who can address these categories from a woman's point of view. So I'm super excited to hear that there is a brand that is specifically putting energy into coming at this from a not a shrink it and pink it approach, but more of let's actually, you know, invite the woman's point of view and get to her reality and go from there. So this position, you would be leading a team of designers who would be making product for the market and they're really looking for somebody who can deliver a contemporary fit and elevate materials, so that, you know, we're really, they're really hitting the, what the consumer wants and needs, with what women want and need in this category. So really cool. For a long time, women's product has been sorely kind of ignored and just never given the attention that it deserves. So
we go outside too, and we like pockets in our clothing. So I hope that that is taken into consideration. Our last position is kind of four positions, because Burton, as you know from the snowboard world, is hiring for their nonprofit organization, Chill. And they're hiring program coordinators in Toronto, Chicago, the DC Baltimore market, and New York City. Now, this organization was started by Jake Burton. The mission is to inspire youth to overcome challenges through board sports, not just snowboarding, but also skateboard, anything that you're on a board for. And the program, it's a really cool program. The pay is, I'm not going to lie, the pay is quite low. It's 19 something an hour. However, we wanted to highlight this position because it is such a great opportunity to make an absolutely lasting impact on youth. The organization serves so many youth and just empowers them and helps focus on their resiliency and reach their full potential and show them that there's a path out of their current circumstances through the really fun activities of board sports. So this position has a real opportunity to make a difference. As I said, you're going to be doing a bunch of stuff. You're going to be talking to stakeholders. You're going to be actually designing the programs that the youth will be participating in day to day. And this is a year-round program, great for somebody that is interested in snowboarding, skateboarding, stand-up paddleboarding, and working with youth. They don't require a ton of experience as well. So somebody wanting to break into this industry should really take a look at these positions.
And the cool thing about Chill is that it is not just lip service in today's day and age. It's actually 25 years old. So yes, it's been around since 1995, and they serve almost 2,000 youth annually. So very impactful and just so such a great organization, and yeah, and proven. So really cool to see Burton continuing these efforts and ramping it up.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Scott at We Got Next is also ramping up efforts, and I'm so excited to talk to him.
All right, let's do it.
Now we have Scott Briscoe. He is the executive director of We Got Next. Scott, thank you so much for being here and telling us about your journey into the outdoor industry today.
Yeah, thank you for having us on.
Can you tell us a little bit about We Got Next and what you do and how you fit into the outdoor industry dynamic?
Yeah. So as a biracial male who identifies as he, him, African-American and Latino, I've had the opportunity and privilege to be part of adventure sports for most of my life. And it's always been a struggle for me because I never saw faces that looked like mine. I never saw any Black, Indigenous, people of color, brown folks. And when I did, I always got really excited and would always have conversations about how they got exposed to the outdoors and what they do and have they had similar struggles as I have. And over the course of the years, I worked with organizations and companies like the American Alpine Club, most recently Patagonia. And we've worked on strategies in all JEDI work related things, like trying to figure out how to increase membership, how to increase diversity in your consumer base, how to change the DNA within the company. And I still remained only that one person. I still remained oftentimes only that one person who looked like myself, identified as myself, predominantly racially. And it was a struggle. It was always a struggle because I was met with a lot of resistance. Oftentimes a lot of excitement and enthusiasm, especially recently. But it's a difficult process to go through in changing some of the systematic problems that organizations, companies, and society is dealing with, are dealing with. So what I decided to do is I decided to found my own organization and do it myself. And what I wanted to do is a couple of different things. I wanted to broaden the coalitions that are fighting for air, water, land, and community, but I also wanted to provide representation for folks who are younger than me or for folks who are my age who don't see themselves in outdoor spaces, and provide those people with an opportunity to see that they are in outdoor spaces and they can be in outdoor spaces. So in the founding of We Got Next, we have 10 ambassadors that we choose. The ambassadors serve a term over a course of 3 years. The first year is bonding, planning, and workshopping. That's the year that we're in currently. What they're planning for is their project and or expedition, which will be the second year. And then their third year will be going around the country and sharing, going on tour and sharing their project expedition that they completed in their second year. What we will do as an organization, we will help support their project and expedition. But beyond that, we'll make sure that when they go on tour, that they are sharing their story with community members that will resonate with their story. What I mean by that is that if we have an ambassador, for example, with Down syndrome, we do. Bob Bucky Harris, he was the first person with Down syndrome to climb the Grand Teton. We will make sure that we coordinate and organize with organizations and communities around the country that have Down syndrome specific members within their community so that they can attend those tours and those presentations so that they can see that somebody like them is doing something that they may have never thought that they could do. Again, just making sure that we are sharing that representation. All of our ambassadors are from underrepresented communities. So they are non-binary men, women of Black, Indigenous, people of color. They are folks with a cognitive or physical difference, and they are folks that identify as part of the LGBTQ plus community. They all are already doing incredible things in outdoor spaces. We're just helping to refine or find a project and expedition that they're passionate about, help them complete that project and expedition, and then help highlight and amplify their story.
Now, I have so many questions.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. a long overview.
And so inspirational. So are these expeditions going to be in tandem with brand sponsorships, hopefully? Is that the goal?
Yeah. So we're looking at, you know, our budget as a nonprofit is, you know, fairly high because we want to provide, we're choosing ambassadors that, as I said, are already engaged in outdoor spaces, whether that's a climber, somebody that's working in agriculture, whether that's somebody who's a soil scientist. And those are all examples of our current ambassadors. So we want to really be able to provide the resources necessary for them to do a really cool project that they're passionate about. And then we want to be able to document that project and expedition. So that could be in the form of a short movie. That could be in the form of just a professional photographer documenting that story so that it could be shared in future presentations. So we're looking at brand sponsorship, which will be tremendous. And we're also looking at donations from independent donors and larger foundations. Now, when we look for our brand partnerships or just general partnerships, because I've had such an intimate relationships with the outdoor industry, specifically brands, I want to make sure that it's not just a one-way partnership. I want to make sure that, or one-way sponsorship. I want to make sure that the brands are not only deciding to commit on some level of in-kind donation or financial donation. I want to make sure that We Got Next ambassadors are able to provide something as well for the brands, because I think that They are all and will all be incredible and great leaders and influencers in those outdoor spaces. And I want to make sure that through the partnership that they're recognized as such. So it's not just kind of like, we need your funding, we need your gear. It's like, we also have professional outdoor people that can provide something for you. How can we look at making sure that their professionalism and experience is helping to elevate your brand or your organization or your foundation?
Mm-hmm. It's an incredible structure that you've built for this program in terms of mentorship and then getting them linked up, with these outdoor brands, which obviously you have a network to connect with. How did you come up with the structure for the program?
Oh my God, 20 years of being in it. I worked with Patagonia for a really long time. I started working in a retail store in Washington, D.C. When I was in university, and I fell in love for a number of different reasons with the brand, the company, the vision, the activism, and it grew to be very deeply embedded as part of my life. I worked on and off for the company and with the company for about 14 years. The last work that I was doing with them was going down to Ventura and meeting with executives and trying to have discussions about justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion within the company. Some of those conversations that evolved ended up happening with ambassadors. I became really good friends with a handful of them, in addition to participating in at conferences together, mostly conservation and environmental conferences, but also having discussions around wanting to become a higher level athlete, wanting to become not, and I don't mean the specialized athlete that they already are, but they felt like many of the ambassadors felt like they had the opportunity and platform to do more and wanted to do more. So it evolved around some of those conversations, the structure of it, but it also evolved around or was created around Expedition Denali, which was the expedition that was the first group of African Americans to climb Denali. And mm-hmm. I was a member of that team. And really the structure is almost exactly what we did with that expedition. We bonded in the years leading up to the climb. We bonded, we trained together, we climbed mountains together, and then we completed the project, which was climbing Denali in 2013. And then all of the climbers, all nine of us, committed to going around the country the first year after the climb in 2014, going around the country and sharing our experiences predominantly to African American youth. And we did that. The film was completed in 2014. So some of the presentations have been slideshow presentations, discussions. I've given presentations from anywhere from second graders. We did a film screening at the White House, the previous administration. We've done environmental film festivals. And even to this day, we continue to screen the film and have discussions with folks. In fact, we just screened at Yale, and we're having a second screening on on July 9th. It's going to be a free screening online and then a discussion with a handful of ambassadors or climbers that were part of the climb. So it was really those two experiences that led to the structure of the programming for We Got Next, both Expedition Denali and then multiple conversations with current ambassadors for brands.
So networking obviously played a huge role in this because you saw a gap in the industry and you were like, I'm going to fill that gap, which takes a lot of moxie. And I think that you might just be a person with a lot of moxie, but for somebody that might be maybe more hesitant or not understand how much influence they can have, how would you recommend that they go about creating these partnerships or creating something that fills a gap just like you did?
Yeah, Man, I mean, it's tough. That's a tough one for me to answer because, it took, I feel incredibly, incredibly lucky to have been able to pull together, I think my ex pull together my experiences and really be able to refine them into something that could work, and that as working. I think if I would provide, if I were to provide any type of suggestions or feedback for somebody who's looking to find that dream career, I would, one, I would make sure that they're having fun with it. Gosh. And then it's so cliche, but to have passion. And I think the passion that has driven me is not necessarily being in those outdoor spaces. Those, to be a person to protect, to protect air, land, water, and community, and to fight for it is actually, those are all results from a lot of the activism, work that I've been passionate about. So some of that is working at a young age with an organization out of Seattle that was looking at establishing an independent civilian review board for the Seattle Police Department because of the injustices. I feel like it's my activism that I became passionate about that actually led me to the action and the work that I'm doing now. So I think that the suggestion would be to really find what you're passionate about and work at ways to implement that into things that you enjoy. Because I think like the passionate things aren't always the things that can provide access or an avenue to work. And I think that that can be sometimes a misconception. Just like do what you're passionate about. But if you can find, if you can pinpoint the thing that you're passionate about and figure out ways to create avenues to things that will work, then I think that that would be, that may be a bit convoluted, but I think it would be to not always follow the people say like, oh, just do what you're passionate about. I think that that could be really a number of different things and really difficult to find ways or find ways to make money or to find a dream job that you're passionate about. But if you can find what you're passionate about and then try to convert that into ways and avenues of a job, then I think that that's a good, that could be a good way to that'd be a suggestion that I would provide.
Yeah, being smart about it, like following your energy, of course, because that's what's going to keep you motivated constantly and keep you pressing. But also, yeah, I mean, if you're just going to knit and then not, leave it in your house, you're not going to make money off of that. Like you could, but like figure out how to make money off of it if that's what you're trying to get to.
Unfortunately, there are business principles that come along with this to some
Yes.
degree.
I'm curious because so you just gave us such a really amazing insight into how you built the program and how it's working. And it all seems so amazing, but were there challenges along the way?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big challenges are, I mean, obviously the one that is sticking out the most presently is COVID. But I think the challenges are internal. So really trying to discover, hold on to the desire to share my experience and know that there are others that are being impacted in a positive way. So I think that the struggles that and the setbacks that I've had are really, to be really vulnerable and honest, are internal. Like, oh, who wants to hear this story? Can I really do this? Is it something that's worthwhile? And I think something, there are a couple of different things that that have helped me to navigate through those moments because I think those no moments, those still exist for me. But the couple of things that help me navigate through those moments are one, like looking at the ambassadors. I look at the ambassadors and I talk to them on a, a weekly or monthly basis, one or two or three of them, and knowing that that the impact that we got next is having on them and will continue to have on them is exponential. So I think if I were to provide any suggestion for folks is to find the people that have supported you when you come up against those internal barriers. Find the people that have supported you through them being impacted and utilize them. Utilize them as a source of energy and a way to navigate through those difficult internal moments that create barriers. Utilize the folks that are inspired by you to maintain that energy to move forward.
That makes perfect sense because they are essentially your comparative advantage too, which you should always be leveraging and making sure, hey, if you've got somebody that's your cheerleader, let them cheerlead for you because that's rare in this world.
Yeah. And I think it's easy for us to not necessarily forget them, but to not utilize them, not leverage them. It's easy to kind of think that, oh, they're just somebody, you know, they're somebody that's my cheerleader and I'm going to, you know, remember what they said, but to actually turn to them for those moments of just getting through those difficult times. I just had a great conversation with Gabriel Patterson. We actually did the Instagram Live together with Jam Collective, and it was one, the Instagram Live was just incredible to listen and to watch him, but to know the impact that's being had on him through We Got Next is powerful and motivates me to go through that next stage, to get through that next step.
If somebody wanted to get involved with you, do they just reach out? Like, are you like, do you want partnerships all over? And my question also is kind of like, how do you determine who you will and who you will not work with? Because saying no is really important too, almost just as important as saying yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, the big things, particularly working with brands, is one of the, I guess, visions or values that we have at We Got Next is making sure that, as I had mentioned earlier, that we can give back, that not only are the brands contributing in a way that is helping us financially or with in-kind donations, but that there's some type of reciprocation that is elevating the leadership of the organization through the leadership of our ambassadorship program. For example, we have a partnership that we confirmed, but we're still working out the details with NPCA. And what we want to do is figure out a way that one of the ambassadors can have a paid internship with the NPCA for a given amount of time, so that they can learn through their process as well. It's such a difficult process, but it was for me, it was one of the first things when I started thinking about fundraising, is who we got the money from and making sure that they were willing to, and not only are willing, but are already doing some of the work with justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. So, I mean, that's a big part of it is making sure that the brands, specifically brands, are doing a lot of this work, whether that means that they're already a member of the Outdoor CEO Pledge, Diversity Pledge, whether that means that they're working with partnerships with affinity groups that are out there, whether that's Brown Folks Fishing or Brown Ascenders or Latino Outdoors or, Girl Trek. Those are organizations and foundations that we'll turn to right away because we know that they've already created partnerships and relationships and figured out ways that are values that are important to them already.
Yeah. So how can brands, you know, start to do this work internally if they're kind of just getting started? Like I was saying, the brand I'm working for, we've been making some big changes and, I just am curious, what can brands do right now? What do you suggest?
Yeah. So there's a couple of different things that I think need to happen. And I think at the kind of the grassroots level, it's happening. Like whether that's, you know, thinking about, let's just take Patagonia, for example, because I just had such an incredible, a good experience, but an experience that I was done with and had to move on from. But at the retail level and at the entry level, like so many people were really jazzed and doing work about partnershipping at the retail level, their stores, whether that was with grants or making sure that they were taking part in events, holding events that were Jedi related. So I think across the board, I have seen and I hope that it continues at the grassroots level. I believe that it will continue at the grassroots level. The jam is on, like people are doing the work and are on the come up. I don't think that's going to change. I think that one of the first things that really needs to happen is it needs to occur at the board level, at the executive level. And a couple of different things can start happening. One, if a board position becomes available, it can't just be one. I think that you need to look at boards for companies and organizations, need to start making sure that they are bringing on board at their executive positions and their board level, more than one person who identifies as an underrepresented community. You can't just have one person, because then it bears on their shoulders to do all of the work. And it's not intentional. It's just inevitable. That's what happens. One, because they're committed to the work, and two, because it's just a default. So I think that organizations and brands need to look at those positions that are coming available and need to either create new positions at the board and executive level that are going to have folks that are from the underrepresented community, or they may need to make sure that when those positions become available, that they're making sure that other positions are becoming available as well at that board level. So that's one thing. Something that's happening already and has been for a little while is that organization and brands at that executive level are getting consultation. They're getting work at that level. And I think that just needs to continue to occur. Another thing is the white folks in those boardrooms and at those executive positions that are starting to do that work and that have been doing that work, they need to continue. It's exhausting, but they need to continue sharing the information and not calling out, but calling in those other board members and those other executive leaders that may not be as aware or may not have been doing as much work already. And I think that sometimes a lot of what I just stated can be not ambivalent, what is the word, can be just vague. But I think that those are really like hardened things that organizations and brands can start doing. I think the obvious one too is that falls in line with that is that there needs to be a budget line. Like that's the first and right away, like there needs to be a budget line that is dedicated to equity work, to diversity, justice, equity, and inclusion work. And I think that once that budget line is implemented, then you can start doing a lot of these other things. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think that the board at the board level and the executive level, once you start changing those faces or adding to those faces, let me say, then you can start implementing that budget and increasing it so that more work can be done.
That's a really, really smart. I literally had this experience today where we were setting up an anti-racism workshop internally and did not have a budget allocated for it. And you know, we're going to make room for it and figure it out. But having that budget set already would help just be proactive about that type of work. So,
yeah. Yeah. And current, you know, whether it's the CEO or the executive director or the board chair, folks can start implementing that work now in terms of getting having outside sources come in and do educational training, but or changing it at the human resources level. But I think just creating a budget line right away, I think that's kind of a hard and steady accessible thing. I know that money is tight for everybody, and it always is, but these brands are doing, historically are doing great. And if, whether it's, I don't know, I think about Patagonia all the time, and Patagonia has done such incredible work and continues to do groundbreaking, profound work for the environment. But historically, in that work, they've left behind a lot of that they haven't really put at the forefront the people. And I think until organizations, and that's changing with them, and I think until organizations and brands start to prioritize, and what I mean by that is putting the people in the front, right? So putting indigenous populations first, black and brown people first, queer, trans, and non-binary and gay and lesbian people first. You cannot really start to change the environment in a way that is sustainable until that happens.
Yeah, totally.
And
Systemic
you know,
racism has to be addressed in order for environmental issues to be addressed.
totally, Allie. And it's a tough thing to change internally, like to do that work and to look at it. But if we want to save the planet, we need everybody. And until we realize that there has been a system that has left people out, and how and acknowledge that, and how to really internally change ourselves so that they can come on board and help us, then there's no way that anything's ever going to change with the planet. It just won't happen. It will not happen.
Completely agree. Scott, before we go, any tips on hiring practices to help make those teams more diverse?
Yeah. So I think there's a couple of easy ways for human resources to start changing those. I think it's looking away from your usual suspects, right? So whether that's, you know, oftentimes brands and organizations are really popular, and they're getting inundated with job applicants from areas that they always have. And what has to change is at the human resource level, they have to start going to different areas. They have to start going to HBCUs, historical Black colleges and universities, on their job fair days. They have to start going to schools or colleges and universities where they have a high population of Latino Americans, and a popular science school or environmental school. They have to start looking in areas where they haven't traditionally looked. A lot of brands and organizations are so incredibly popular for a good reason, and they haven't had to go look for people. And I think that that needs to change. I think that, you know, I bring up Patagonia because they're so much part of my DNA. But Yvon Chouinard has said sometimes we have to take two steps backward in order to go forward. And I think that at the human resource level, that's something that needs to be applied. Like, human resources need to go backwards now. Like, God, remember when we had to go search for people? Well, we have to do that now. We can't rest on our laurels and all of these thousands of applicants that are coming in and just pick from the people that are coming in. We have to now back up and go look for people. And I think that that's one of the really accessible, easy ways. It might be uncomfortable, it might be hard, but brands are successful at strategies. They know how to do it. They did it before. Take those 2 steps backwards to go forward. I think that's just a real accessible way.
Yeah, and just to add to that point, from what I've heard, it can be really helpful too if a brand can afford to really also help financially, because a lot of brands expect applicants to be able to pick up and move themselves within the outdoor industry. And that's a privileged place and not something that everyone has access to. And so to provide financial support to move those candidates, and get them set up, I think is also a key kind of just logistical thing that can help in a big way.
Yeah. And I think along those lines, Allie, another thing is looking, especially right now, we have this opportunity, like organizations and companies are taking a whole different outlook on what remote work looks like and how successful it can be. And I think when you look at Black and brown indigenous people of color, and the areas that a lot of us come from and are asked to go to when we're hired by these organizations and companies, it's really hard for us. Ventura is a really messed up place for a Black or Brown Indigenous person of color. You know, Lander, Wyoming, where Knowles is housed, is a really difficult place for a Black, Brown, Indigenous person of color, not to mention anybody else. But it's so now that we have we're experiencing this new kind of perspective and outlook on what remote work looks like, I really think taking advantage of it and using it as an opportunity to bring on people that may be entrenched in their community and are at high level doing the work they're doing because of the community that they exist in. So I think that those are, to your point, Allie, that's a great looking at those resources that brands have available for moving, but also looking at an opportunity to really amplify remote work, or even looking at like, you know, what is a 20%, 80%, position look like?
Yeah, that was beautifully said. A lot of great tips there. That was so helpful, not only to the, you know, we have a lot of outdoor industry leaders that listen to this podcast, and I think that they're very much going to be listening to this, but those are applicable to both smaller brands and larger brands. So extremely helpful for our community. Scott, was there anything that you'd like to say that we didn't get a chance to touch on yet?
Yeah, I think that in terms of resources for brands, for, you know, especially folks that may be listening at the executive leadership position, there's a couple of different resources that are out there. I think Diversify Outdoors. I think, I could go down the list right now, but let me think of the ones that I think are really accessible and provide a lot of resources. I think Greening Youth Foundation, Angelou and James, the founders over there, have been doing work for a really long time in not only informing and educating Brown, Black, Indigenous people of color, but also helping to create a pipeline into natural spaces. I think Diversify Outdoors is a great resource. I think the In Solidarity organization led by Teresa Baker and Chris Perkins, who are the co-founders of the Diversity CEO Outdoor Pledge. I think that's a great resource. I think if organizations and brands have resources, they can support PGM1, which is an incredible organization that is amplifying the voices. It's a space where folks of color can come together, a 3-day conference, maybe 4 days now, where people in outdoor spaces that are people of color can come together and do work. There's workshops, there's bonding, and really kind of connect and create the energy that brands and organizations are looking for, really kind of create energy for themselves to come back and implement within the organizations that they're working in. So those are a couple of different resources that I think folks can turn to. And of course, you know, supporting We Got Next, they're such an incredible group of ambassadors. They're in their first year. We'll start looking for our next cohort next year, and they'll come on board in 2022. And then we'll just continue down the line with We Got Next.
And we will link to We Got Next in our show notes, so everybody can very easily check you out and see what you're up to and see how they can get involved, because I'm sure a ton of people will want to. Well, thank you so much, Scott. That was a great interview. I personally learned a lot, so I'm very appreciative of that. And I'm sure our audience did too. And it was just great to talk to you again.
Yeah, Jenna, you too. And Allie, nice to meet you. And thank you so much for providing the opportunity and platform for me to share about, you know, We Got Next and the work that I'm doing, but also share with folks that are, you know, trying to make some transformative changes within the spaces that they work. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank Absolutely. You very much.
Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. And thank you again to Scott Briscoe from We Got Next. Amazing tips. I think that's going to be so helpful for everyone in the outdoor industry and really recommend you passing along this interview to people that might need to hear some very tactical information on how to diversify their organizations and the industry generally speaking. Next week, we have a pretty stellar interview with the Trust for Public Land you are not going to want to miss. They have a lot of jobs available. A lot of them are entry level, and we're talking directly to the VP of Marketing and Communications, who has some incredible insight into what their culture is like, and if you'd like a leg up on your application, what you should be doing. So definitely tune in next week. Until then, please join us in the Basecamp group. You can get all of the details for that at outdoordreamjobs.com, and you can find out how to sign up to our newsletter if you are not already, which I really hope you are, because we chalk that full of new job opportunities each week. Either way, we will catch up with you next week, and be sure to reach out if A, you'd like to be on the show, or B, you have a suggestion for what you'd like to hear. We are very much open to feedback.